Hey, good morning, everybody. This is Sketchbook Audio, and I am your host, Ryan Sketch. That is the great John Mayer. Cannot wait to see him this summer. He's coming up here to Detroit very soon, and I'm looking forward to it. Should be going there with a buddy of mine, Jeff, and hopefully he's listening because John Mayer happens to be probably his favorite band next to Aerosmith. Man, it's been a rough couple weeks, a couple months, really. But to do a quick rundown, my grandma passed away about 3 weeks ago today. I lost my job the minute I came home from that funeral. It's just horrible. Who fires somebody right after they get back from a funeral? I mean, do you want drama afterwards? I really could have caused so much more drama, and I didn't. In fact, when they told me that I was being terminated, I just was in shock because I couldn't believe somebody would have the balls to let somebody go, no reason given, none, and just say it's not working out right after I got back from a funeral. They knew I had just gotten back from a funeral. There's just the audacity of it. Anyways, so right after that, looking for a job, doing this, having a lot of fun doing this because, let's be honest, I get to be me. I get to enjoy the company of great music and the people who listen to this show, and it brings me some joy. Unfortunately, a couple days ago, I lost another really good friend. So young too, in his 40s, took really good care of himself, was physically fit. I mean, the guy looked like Thor, and he cosplayed Thor quite frequently. He also did Santa Claus, which was pretty awesome. Another one of his that I just loved, loved was his Big Lebowski look, the dude. And man, did he abide. Such a great guy, man. Listen, I know I say it at the end of the show all the time, be good to one another, but seriously, just you gotta be good to everybody, right? I mean, not everybody, right? So there's people who are just assholes. Brush them off. Walk away. Let them be who they are because their life is miserable as shit. And obviously, you don't want your life to be as miserable as theirs. So the best thing you can do is just walk away. And I don't know if you believe in God or what you believe in. If you believe in Buddha or Moses or Bahamut and Thor, if you're into Norse mythology, which, by the way, I love Norse mythology. In fact, I just picked up a chronicle of all Norse mythology. Man, it's a tongue twister. Norse mythology, and I've been playing God of War, so I'll get into that in a second. But whoever, you know, whatever you believe in, what it comes down to is they all preach, they all, I don't want to say demand, but they all ask and require of you and their followers to better yourself and better humanity. I've studied every religion, save for a couple little ones. Definitely Mormonism I don't really follow. I don't want to put anybody's religion down, so I'm not going to do that right now. But there are a few I don't study. Scientology I know like the back of my hand. Thank you, South Park. And they just all tell you life is too short to be a dick. And it's just not the way to go. So Rick, the friend that I lost recently of a heart attack, sorry if I get choked up here. It's just so sudden. I'm also sick. But Rick embodied heroism, altruism, and just genuinely being a good person. I went to that guy for a lot of things. Mostly because he was older and he had wisdom, and you know, the dude, like I said, looked like Thor. So it was easy to look up to the guy from a physical, well, literally and figuratively, look up to the guy because of his physical stature. But he was just so pleasant and caring. And I remember seeing so many cosplayers that were struggling with one thing or another, particularly with their physical look and not fitting, quote unquote, fitting in with the culture. Listen, there is no physical form culture in cosplay. There are skinny people who will cosplay as the Blob. There are heavy people who will cosplay as the Blob. There are dudes who will cosplay as Storm. And there are chicks who will cosplay as Peter Parker. It doesn't matter, really. And Rick was so good at showing that and getting people, first of all, off their feet and out of their shell. But secondly, making themselves feel comfortable with who they were, what they were, and what they wanted to do. And if they felt like their cosplay wasn't up to snuff, Rick was there to help you and to make it better. He bettered you. And he's gone. But it's just, we lost one of the good ones. I don't know if you guys cosplay at all. In fact, this weekend I will be, if his funeral's not this weekend, I will be going to the Motor City Comic Con in, I think, Livonia at the, it's such a long name, Suburban Auto Collection Showcase thing in Livonia, or Novi maybe. I think it's Novi, actually, Michigan. So if you are in the Michigan area and you're listening to this, I will be there. I'm probably going to, well, we wanted to do something in support of Captain America or Thor because that was his like last costume and that was his favorite, were Captain America and Thor. So expect me to do like a Deadpool crossover with one of those two, or and I'm also going to do my Joker, the Joaquin Phoenix. I bought all of the props for that, so... But yeah, so if you're going to be there, come say hi. I'll be around. Man, anyways, I don't want to bring everybody down today. Just trying to lift people up. Be good to one another. Take care of one another. Hug somebody. Hug a friend. Tell them you love them. Because, I mean, Rick was not prone to heart attacks, and that's how he went. So we could all just go... just like Thanos expected, in a snap. What I wanted to talk about today was, over last week, I had the opportunity to really inspect some cars that have been on my palette and my watch list because they're really good-looking cars. But I've started to notice more and more about them that I haven't before, especially at the auto shows. And it's these little clever features that have piqued my interest, we'll say. And I want you guys to know about them because they are great examples of thoughtful design, good design, smart design, and a good product. Whether you like the brand or the car itself is irrelevant. You got to respect the thoughtfulness and the practicality of them. One of them being the Kia Soul, the 2020 Kia Soul. Now, this car pretty much screams practical, right? But one of the cool things that they've managed to do with the new generation, this newest generation, is they separated the car itself into, we'll say, four different trim levels. A base model, a hybrid model, well, not a hybrid model, a fully electric model, which, by the way, gets the best range out of any other fully electric compact vehicle in its class. So that includes the Kia Niro. I think the only one that does better, and it's bigger, is the Kona. But it even does better, I think, than the Tesla Model 3 and the BMW i3 and a bunch of other cars like that. Oh, the Mini Cooper does better than that. So... one of the things I really, so there's the base model, the plug-in electric model, which looks great in this alien green, by the way. Then there's the GT line, which has a like a base GT line with all the pretty accents. And then there's the more aggressive performance-oriented GT line turbo, which has, of course, a turbocharged engine and nicer headlights and a dual exhaust, dual center exhaust, mind you. Excuse me. Oof. This cold's going to get the best of me. Anyways, the next trim level is the and the last is the X line, which I'll be honest with you, X is supposed to mean cross or crossover or, you know, capable of doing things off-road. I'm sorry, Kia, you're not fooling anybody. This car will maybe go off into some sand if you fell asleep at the wheel and all of a sudden ended up off the road. In that sense, you're not taking this thing where Wranglers can go. It's silly. But they did a good job with the plastic cladding, making it look like it was more than just road ready. And while I hope nobody, oh, and it doesn't even have all-wheel drive. So that's hint number one that this car should not leave the pavement. But good for them, because they managed to take one car and give it four different personalities. And that's hard to do, especially from a cost standpoint, let alone a marketing and a visual standpoint. But I wanted to get into the interior. And one of the things I loved about the interior, two things. One, they've managed to keep the illuminated door speakers that Kia and the Kia Soul specifically have become synonymous with. Kia and every other automaker needs to follow suit. They're putting LED lights everywhere that, you know, a company thinks a person would, their eyes might go to most, i.e. the door handles underneath the dash trim, if there's like wood or something. That separation between the glove box and the IP itself, in the transmission tunnel, probably in the little cubby that's underneath the radio or your climate control. And then obviously in your footwells, front and back, that's definitely a thing. But illuminated speakers is just freaking cool, especially since they change colors. Now, the only other car I can think of that did that outside of Kia was Volkswagen with the VW Bug, the most recent generation. And it's just a cool thing. It's fun, and it makes sense because it's a large surface, and it provides ample amount of light. And if you can adjust the brightness, the dimness, whatever, then now you've increased its usability. And it's, of course, in some of the Kias, I believe it actually bounces to the music. Totally aftermarket vibe, and I love it. So kudos to them. You know what it reminds me of is Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift. And I know that movie gets a lot of shit. But going back and looking at Tokyo Drift, it was fun, and it followed the car culture of a whole nother universe, really. Because just looking at the one kid's Hulk car, first of all, it's a key car. K-car, K-E-I. It's a K-car, so it's really tiny, it's compact, but he put all of his work into making it look like the Hulk had smashed it or was smashing out of it. And it was an extension of him. And that's what a lot of the car culture in Japan is. It's an extension of that person, or it's an extension of something that's relative to the Japanese culture, i.e. anime, unfortunately hentai, manga, etc., etc. So I loved seeing that because it's taking that little piece of Japanese culture, even though I understand Kia is Korean. But it's taking that Asian culture, we'll say, and bringing it to the Americans. And it was really fun. It's like their signature on the car. And I thought that was cool. One of the other features that I really liked is their integration of the tweeter speaker into the door handle, into this bezel. And if you get the GT line, I don't know about the other models, but the GT line affords you this cool red, it's like an anodized red texture that it looks like it's like a lithograph or it's hand carved. I don't know how to explain it. It's really interesting. It's very intricate and it's very modern and high design. It's not just this piece of plastic that's gloss black like everybody else is doing. And it's not just something with like faux wood. Yeah, it's cheaper, harder plastic, but it actually has some texture to it. And I think that's something that a lot of automakers lose from the concept to production is any kind of textural feeling to a surface. Obviously, the door plastic, the Black Abyss, has its own grain, right? And a lot of it simulates leather. But this is just a very technical feature on a car that really is more technical than it is organic, which is funny because if you look at the commercial for the new Kia Soul, it's these four little, well, I think they actually show three, the hybrid, the electric, the GT line and the X line. And they show them like micro size as though they were the size of a flea, rolling around the body contours of a chameleon. And a chameleon, of course, is very organic and very natural. There's nothing really technical about it. Although one could make the argument that the eyes on a chameleon are extremely technical because unlike our human vision, which I believe is, monoscopic? They have a stereoscopic, meaning that one eye can go in one direction, the other eye can go to the other direction, and they can see two different things at once. That's awesome. Not many other animals can say that they can do that, and I think that's really cool. Somebody please correct me, though, on the proper biological terms, if that's stereoscopic versus monoscopic. But I just imagine humans, we have two eyes that are looking in one direction. Obviously, we can move them in one direction or the other, but at the same time, right? If I move my right eye, my left eye follows. If I move, you know, whatever. And they take whatever's in front of me and they stitch it together like binoculars, right? It's not like I can look right and see, one thing and then let's look left and see a completely different thing at the same time. So, anywho, so kudos to Kia for doing that. Another Kia that I wanted to talk about was the Kia Telluride. Now, I got a chance to sit in and test a, I think it was like the SX model. Yeah, SX model. And I was blown away, not only by the craftsmanship, but by the general overall design of everything. It was very upscale. Now, a lot of the materials aren't as true or as nice as, say, the Grand Cherokee Overland Summit or a Porsche Cayenne or Macan or a BMW X5 or X7. But they do a very good job of mimicking those vehicles at a much more budget-oriented price. And what do I mean by budget? Well, let's put it this way. I got in a fully loaded SX model, and I think it cost me, or the sticker price was like 40-something, 42. It had everything, a really nice wood grain. It had Napa leather with a really interesting, sporty, technical design on the seats. It definitely made me feel like this was something rugged, at the same time aggressive. And there's not a lot of horsepower in the car, but it definitely holds its own. It's capable. And yeah, you could take this thing off road, throw a couple skid plates on it, a roof rack. And if you really wanted to go crazy, put some mud tires on it and bam, you have yourself a very competent off-roading vehicle. Maybe some hella fog lights up front, Pia, whatever you wanted to do. You could easily make this thing off-road and it seats seven or eight, depending on if you get the bench seat in the middle or the two captain chairs. The one I sat in was specced out with seven seats because it had the two captains in the middle, which, by the way, were separated in such a perfect way that it made it very easy to get into the back seat, the very back seat, the third row, in between the middle row. So the two captain chairs, just walking in between without having to fold them forward and collapse them and all that junk. And I love the fact that they included the adjustable sliding capabilities to the middle row. So you can slide it forward and backwards. It's little things like that that more car companies need to pay attention to. That middle row, whether you have two rows or three rows. So if it's a two row car, it's obviously the back row. Having the ability to slide forward and back not only helps the passengers up front, but it also helps with your cargo capacity in the back. So automakers and auto designers alike need to listen. You need more functionality in that back seat. It can't just fold forward. If it can recline, great. One thing that they took out of the new Cherokee, the redesign, it doesn't slide forward and it doesn't slide back and it only folds forward. It does not recline. It no longer reclines. Why? I don't understand that. That makes no sense. That was one of its best features, was the ability to recline backwards. Even my Range Rover Evoque does not have the ability to recline, and it should. It's a luxury vehicle, and that ability to adapt and adjust is a little bit of a sign of luxury. Hell, a Ram crew cab can adjust its reclinability in the back seat. That's insane. It's a truck, right? But that's the world we live in now, where trucks are seen as a point of class and high fashion, we'll say. So that was the second one. The third one is the Volvo XC40. Now, I've always really enjoyed this vehicle from a visual standpoint. First of all, the two-tone ability, well, it's actually three-tone. You got the underbody cladding, which is black, nice black plastic. And I guess depending on which trim level, it goes from being like a matte finish to a high gloss, I think. No, I stand corrected. It's always like a matte finish. But you get a high gloss black roof or a sort of a stone white roof. And depending on the trim level, of course, if you get the R design, you get a black roof. If you get the lower two trim levels, you get a white or a black roof or a body colored roof. But the one thing that really stood out to me was the fact that Volvo is very practical. Not only are they extremely safe, but they are also full of functionality and clever details that are very thoughtful. One of them being, they have a garbage can in the armrest. Say what? A garbage can in the armrest? That's genius. You know, now I don't have to dump all my wrappers from anything into the same vestibule that, like, my change and my CDs. Yes, I have CDs in my car. It has a CD player. Thank you very much. And I am retro. So it's got this garbage can. And not only is it just there, and it's got like a little push-down lid like you would see on some garbage cans, but you can remove it and you can empty it and you can clean it if you needed to, right? Super smart, very simple. And it's not like they gave up anything to put that in there. The armrest still has tons of space inside there, as much as one would need in that kind of car. The glove compartment has two shelves, one that's obviously for storing your user manual and the book and stuff like that. The other one is larger. You can fit gloves, you can fit CDs, a CD case, whatever you wanted in there. And then there's a little switch to open and close a vent to cool the glove box. Now, this isn't the only car that has a cooled glove box. In fact, a lot of Volkswagens have that. They even had a cooled center console armrest. The Dodge Caliber, the Dodge Avenger, and the Dodge Journey all had coolers in the glove box, and they really worked. If you're a person who in the summer it gets really hot, and you, or even if it's like 80, 70s, 80s, and you really like to crank your AC, your drinks are going to stay cold in your glove box. They're not going to get warm at all. It's very convenient, especially for long road trips. So there's that. And then in the backseat, you know, usually backseat people get the shaft, right? They don't get any thoughtfulness to them other than comfort. Well, not only did Volvo think about their comfort, because you get really nice plush, almost bucket seats in the back, but you get that fold down armrest with the cup holders in a little cubby. But they went a step further and thought, there's that extra space in between the seat cushion and the door jamb. What can we do with that? Because right now it's wasted space, and a lot of people will drop stuff, you know, even if it's just crumbs, they'll drop stuff into that area, and it'll either get lost forever or it'll just get jammed into something, and it's really hard to clean. Well, they put two plastic molded cubbies. I guess you could put a drink there, but more importantly, you could put your cell phone, you could put a pocketbook, you could put, I don't know if you have like a little passport holder, you could put that in there, your wallet, whatever you wanted. And it didn't have to, you know, a lot of guys sit on their wallet, right? And they already have their keys in one pocket, their phone in another. Where do you put your wallet? Obviously, you don't want to sit on your keys. So you'll double up and you'll put your wallet and your phone in one, but then that risks scratching your screen on your phone, or you'll put your keys in your phone together. There's no good mix, but Volvo thought about that and decided, well, let's give some people who do that stuff a place to put their things. Now, not everybody who goes in the backseat is going to have that kind of situation, but it's the thought that counts. And it's the fact that they didn't take anything away to add that. They just added and made it better. So I really like that. I also really dig the technical aspects of their it's not a wood grain. It's like a plastic gunmetal. Instead of just being a smooth brushed aluminum surface, it is a very, it's not organic. It's very technical. And I think this is a very technical car. There's nothing really organic about a Volvo. It's not quite as rigid as a lot of German cars, but it definitely has that practicality, that functionality, that utilitarian mindset, which is why their IP is so clean. You have four vents separated by a nice trim that's very technical. You can get wood, of course, and a lot of it's recycled wood, but I think it's actually all recycled wood. If you get the wood grain, if you get the plastic, then it's recycled plastic. So that's cool. But then you just have a big screen, and it's not as massive as a Tesla, but all of the functionality is there, plus a nice dial that has your basic features for that tactile, you know, feel that you need, that a lot of people really crave. And of course, you have your QI wireless charger down underneath the cubby and some USB ports. And that kind of is the way all Volvos are right now. And that's not a bad thing. It's a very good thing. It's a very smart thing. And I really like the way and the direction Volvo is going, really branching themselves away from Ford and just being their own brand. So that's why I'm really excited to get my Polestar 2, which I put a pre-order down a while ago, but I'm really excited for that. To be honest, though, I kind of wish I could put that money down on the Volvo S60 Hybrid. It sold out in 39 minutes, but one of my favorite features are the racing seats up front, racing-esque seats. I know some people will argue that. And the gold seatbelts. That is something I get on my Polestar 2, is the gold seatbelts. But, you know, would have been cool to have more of a wagon-esque or SUV-esque vehicle. But, I, you know, we'll talk about the Polestars next week. This is just a, you know, we're at 30 minutes. So anyways, thanks for tuning in, guys. I appreciate it. Sorry if I got you guys down, but I promise you the next episode will be very uplifting and very fun. Till next time, this is Ryan Sketch from Sketchbook Audio. Thanks for tuning in.